Okay, today's shiur and the rest of the shiur throughout the summer is sponsored by Ben Yael Engels, Chus Rufur Shlema, for Zachariah Kalman Ben Yael Magali. We started the sugya of the Jews' chelek in the Bishul when it comes to Bishul Akum last night. I would like to go through the Gemara. We got halfway through the Gemara and then ran out of time. So I'd like to go through the Gemara again, just make some quick ha'aros about what are points that are worthy of thinking about when we go through this Gemara, and then start analyzing how this plays out in the halacha. So again, the Gemara in Daf Lamed Chesamud Aleph, four lines into the wide lines, Lamed Chesamud Aleph, let's read through it quickly. Amar Rav Yudah Mar Shmuel, Hiniach Yisrael Basar Al Gabei Gechalim, a Jew leaves meat on the coals, Uba Ovid Kochavim V'Hafach Bo, and a guy comes and is Hofech It, Mutter, that's going to be totally Mutter. So even though the guy did something to the meat is still fine because the Jew put the meat on the coals. So says Gemara Yechidami, what exactly is the case? If the non-Jew not done anything to it, it would have been cooked. So then of course it's mutter. It must be that it's a case a Jew puts the food on the fire, but he puts it in such a way that it's never going to get cooked. And then a guy comes and puts it closer to the source of the flame or whatever and makes it that the food is able to get cooked. But then why should it be mutter? That's the very definition of bishul akum. That's like saying if I bring raw meat home from the butcher shop and put it in my fridge, then the guy takes it and puts it in the oven, that it should be okay because I brought it all the way from the butcher shop to my fridge. No, that doesn't work. You need to put it in a place that it's actually going to get cooked. Putting it near the fire in a way that it's never going to get cooked is totally insignificant. And if that's all the Jew did, then it's pashut that it's a problem of bishul akum. So says Gemara lo tzricha di ilo hafach hava bashul betarti shai v'hashe ka bashul b'chadashayta. Now the Jew put it in a place where it was hot enough to get cooked. It just would have taken a while. The guy came and helped the cooking go more quickly. So ma'al detema kruvi bishul milsa. I might have thought that the guy's contribution to the cooking was significant. Kamash Malan, that it's not so significant, that so long as the Jew put it in a place where it could have gotten cooked on its own, whatever the guy did later doesn't really matter. But at this point in the Gemara, what do you definitely need the Jew to do? What it sounds like is you need the Jew to put the food on the fire. You need the Jew to be involved in the cooking of the food or to put the food in the fire in such a way that the food can become cooked through his action. According to this, if we were to stop right here and ask ourselves, what about turning on the fire before I leave to work in the morning and having the housekeeper make dinner based on the fire that I turned on before I left to work in the morning, right? You would say that would be vaday aser because I didn't do anything with the food. We had a havamina that even if I put the food on the fire and the guy did the rest of the cooking, we had a havamina that and the guy helped in the rest of the cooking, that would be aser, kamash mal that it's mutter. But for sure it would seem at this point, if I didn't even do anything with the food, I just turned on the fire, that would vaday be aser, right? Everyone agrees that that's how you would read the Gemara at this point, yeah?
How does the word havamina come work for the second havamina in the Gemara?
Explain. What do you mean by that?
I'm going to flip it to turn it over.
Mm-hmm.
How is it possible if it's in one place it won't get cooked and you just turn it upside down and it gets cooked now? How is that?
Maybe he flips it over to the other side.
I mean, it wouldn't cook the way it is, but flipping it changes it?
I don't know. Okay, we're going to have to discuss. Flipping could mean a lot of things. Sometimes flipping just means you leave it in exactly its place and you just flip it over. Or it could be that it's on this side of the grill, and when you flip things, very often when you barbecue, you're going to have the hamburger on this side, and then just flip it over to the other side of the grill as you're flipping it. Once you're flipping it, just flip it over to the other side, right? So it could be that you're flipping it closer to the fire, right? So he's speeding up, or he's speeding up the visual process because he turns it over, meaning that if I leave it cooking only on one side, by the time the whole meat gets cooked, it's going to take a lot longer than if I evenly distribute the heat by flipping it.
Yeah, but it would still cook. How is there a case where it's on the fire?
Oh, you're talking about the case where it would not have gotten cooked.
It's on the fire now and it's being cooked.
Had the Jew, right, yeah. or it could be, and we're going to see this in Poskim, that maybe Hafachba releases some grease from the meat itself that causes the fires to be, to rage a little bit. So the fires were dying out and they wouldn't have done anything, but now that you've caused the fires, that the guy turns it over, causes the fire. So the Metzius is, it's possible. Let's assume that the Metzius is possible.
Well, I mean, even if you're not going to say that Shan Havach, and the fire is low enough that it will only cook, it won't cook all the way through. When you have a fire, it's not so strong. It's only, it's on a low setting. It will only cook
right
through half the meat. So in that case, it's not all going to get cooked. There, him flipping it over will actually cook.
Okay, so that's the question. Is there such a metzias that it will cook through half the meat, just won't make it, no matter how long you wait, will never make its way through the rest of the meat, a really high piece of meat, maybe, I don't know. If
well,
there, right, if there is such a machine, maybe, I don't know. Okay, so at this point, right, we're definitely not comfortable with what we do in terms of what we rely on in Bishalakum, right? So says the Gemara, Vam Rav Asi Amar Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara says, that's too big a kula you just gave, right? You expect the Gemara to say, come on, how could you be so machmir? The Gemara says, no, that's too big a kula. Vam Rav Asi Amar Rabbi Yochanan, that anything that the Jew has already cooked to the point of machal ben drusai is no problem of bishalakum. But the implication is clearly, ha'eno k'machal ben drusai, yesh ba mishum b'shuli avdei chavim. If it's not k'machal ben drusai, then it is subject to bishalakum. Meaning, we just described, if a Jew leaves the food on the fire, and it gets 1% of the way cooked, but it could have gotten all the way cooked, it just didn't. It only got 1% of the way cooked, and then a guy came and finished up the job. We just got finished saying that that's perfectly fine. As long as when the Jew left it, it could have, in the next 2 hours, gotten cooked. Now we're saying, though, that if the Jew didn't actually cook it to 33% cooked, to machal ben drusai, then all bets are off, then it's no good. So we have a much bigger chumrah. So the Gemara is asking, don't we have this chumrah that the Jew needs to actually get it to machal ben drusai? Answers the Gemara, hasam kigon da osve besilta, v'shakli ovet kchad v'alse betanura. Now over there we're talking about a case where the case where you require it to be machal ben drusai is where the food was taken off the fire, put in some flour or something, the guy comes, takes, puts it back, and puts it back on the flame. So when the guy, no? What?
Is it possible that it, silta means flat? I'm just saying.
No, I have no idea what silta means. I'm just saying, he put it somewhere. I don't know. I just,
is it possible that
I associate it with solace. I'm probably wrong, but.
Is it, right. No, I'm not right. I'm saying, is it possible that it was just like
no,
off
no
the
idea
fire, not cooked at all?
Yeah.
On the fire?
No.
Why not?
Because we're saying whether it's machal ben drusai or
right,
not.
Right, so they're obviously it's not machal ben drusai. I think we're clarifying that case when it's not even cooked at all yet.
No, that's not what it's saying. It's not saying that it's not cooked at all. It's saying that it was da osve besilta means, and that's where we have to dan, was it machal ben drusai or not? Because it was osve besilta. It's not
right,
saying that it wasn't cooked
that
at
not
all.
Machal ben drusai, then it's definitely machal.
So that's what we just quoted, right? Amar Biasi, Amar Biyochanan. If it's Kemachal Ben Drusai, it's no problem. If it's not Kemachal Ben Drusai,
right,
it is a problem.
Is. Right,
so we're saying,
we're
when
saying.
Do we say that if it's that it's totally on whether it's Kemachal Ben Drusai or not? When is that statement of Rav Asi, Amar Biyochanan true? Where it's tully, whether it's machal ben drusai or not machal ben drusai, when it was taken off the fire, put down somewhere?
Why can't he just be saying the din? Maybe this is a din, straight din. I mean, no, nothing special. If it's machal ben drusai, it's not bishalakum. If it's not machal ben drusai, it doesn't matter what it is, in flour or not, in the fridge, in the freezer, then it is bishalakum.
It doesn't. I agree. It doesn't matter where it is. You're not taking a raw. The guy is not taking a raw piece of meat.
Why not? I'm saying, why not?
Because that's got nothing to do with machal ben drusai. It's raw. The guy is just taking a raw piece of meat and cooking
right,
it.
Right. How do I know that?
That's not the chiddush of Rabbi Rabbi Yochanan. No, Rabbi Asi and Rabbi Yochanan says if it's less than machal ben drusai, less than machal ben drusai means it's cooking. That it's cooked partially. No?
Okay,
no? Am I wrong? Okay? No? Do we... Anybody else? I don't know. There seems to be a lot of glancing going on.
Rashi over there says besal. So meaning it is in
flour. Oh,
we
still have to look at that. A basket. Okay, so you put
it... Unless it just means that it's in flour in a
right.
basket. No, it's in a basket and it's a little...
No, it's left after flour. It doesn't matter. So
it's in a
basket.
But
you put it aside. But the point is you cooked it before you put
it's
it aside.
Cooked.
Yeah, yeah. I just translated the word wrong.
No,
okay, fine.
That's what I was
but the point is that you took it off the flame. Right? Basal in a basket. Silt is a basket. Fine. But the point is that it was cooked a little bit beforehand. Right? It has to have been that it was cooked a little bit beforehand. Good. So says the Gemara, Tani Nami Yachi. Maniach Yisrael Basra al-Gabi Kachalim Vavichav Mahafich Bo. A Jew puts meat on the coals, and then a guy is Mahapich Bo. Actually, Yavu Yisrael in Beis HaKnesses and basically mans the grill until the Jew comes home from shul. Omi Beis HaMedrash Veinu Choshish, that's no problem. Because as long as the Jew put the food on the fire, it's staying on the fire. All the guy is doing is continuing the bishul that the Jew had started. That's okay. And this is a Tani Nami Hachi, because what we were saying is, where do you have a problem? Only if that bishul was suspended. How is the bishul suspended? If it's put in a basket on the side, if it's put somewhere else. But if the guy is just continuing the bishul of the Jew, that's okay. Shofeses isha kedeira al gabe kira, ubasa ovedes kolchavim magisa, achetovim beis hamerchas, beis hakneses, veinu chashesha. See, women went to shul. That that the woman could be cooking a pot, she leaves it, she leaves the non-Jewish help in the house stirring the pot. Magis means to stir the pot, right? We know that from Hilcha Shabbos, that the non-Jewish woman is stirring the pot, and she comes home, she doesn't have to worry about anything, because the Jew, presumably, because the Jewish woman is the one who put it on the fire, it hasn't left the fire since the Jewish woman put it on the fire, and therefore it doesn't matter how cooked it got under the Jewish woman's watch, as long as she's the one that put it on the fire, and it continues to be a hemsheikh of that original bishul, you're okay. Yeah.
Back to that point.
Yeah.
If the whole point is that it was suspended, isn't it Iker Chasam and Asefer? I mean, why the
Gemara
or Rashi makes no mention that it was previously cooked at all? I was trying to say just its pasha.
Of course it's partial, because it says that it's kamachal ben Josiah or less than machal ben Josiah. The words mean that it's partially cooked.
Then put in the basket, then put back.
Because how else does it get to machal ben Josiah? It has to be that it means it was cooked. He just put it in the basket. Yeah.
Clarification: tiny on half of you. This case, these two cases. The Jew left before the Machal Ben Yosai, right?
Now yes, I think so. I think that's what the point is. The guy did all the cooking. You just put the food on the fire and left it.
Right.
Left it for the guy to do. Now, just pashut reading of the Gemara, as we said yesterday. Mahapichbo. What does mahapichbo mean? You turned what? So we said it means you turned the food. It's pashut that it means you turned the food over. Why is it so pasha that it means you turn the food over? Why doesn't it mean maybe you turn the coals over? You're mahapich on the kachalim. What?
It says bow, not bum.
So number one, it says bow, not bum. Number two, the Gemara associates the case of the man leaving and having the guy be mahapich bow with the woman leaving and having the non-Jewish woman be magis bow. Magis is definitely not about the coals. So if the two cases are closely associated with each other, the stamma mahapich means on the food itself, right? Just pashut reading of the Gemara, it has to mean that. Problem is going to be when we see Rishonim that say not that way, but the pashut reading of the Gemara is it has to mean mahapich bows on the food itself. Good? There's something else I wanted to say. Okay, let's see a little bit weiter. So, Ibayilahu. So this says the Gemara, what about the following case? If being mahapich bo is not enough of an act on the guy's part to ruin your food, is it enough of an act on the Jew's part to save the food? And let's say the guy is doing everything but the hippo. And you're coming, you're being mahapich bo. So is that a significant enough act to make it bishul Yisrael? It wasn't a significant enough act if the guy is the one that's doing the hippuch to make a bishul akum. Is it a significant enough act if the Jew is doing the hippuch to make a bishul Yisrael? So Gemara says, Amrav Nachman Yisra kal v'chomer. Gomro biyad ovid kochavim mutter, gomro biyad Yisrael lo kol shkein. Whoa. Gemara says, kal v'chomer. If the guy is the one that finishes the job, that's going to be mutter, meaning it's still going to be called bishul Yisrael. So when the Jew finishes the job, for sure that's going to be mutter. What's the obvious problem?
In our cases, the Jew came back, and the woman came back with her shul and continued after.
No one ever said anything about finishing the job, right? Meaning we've been talking about being mahapichbo. What is mahapichbo, pashup shot? What would you think it means? That you turn the meat over. I don't know. Who says that he necessarily had to finish the job? The Gemara obviously is assuming now that mahapichbo means... Okay, what do you mean? I leave... Like Zach just said, you go and the guy is being mahapichbo. You get back till you get back from shul, then you finish up stirring and taking and doing whatever.
But it doesn't say that.
Right? As soon as you get back from shul,
it just
obviously they're manning the grill until you get home.
Yeah.
Right? And then when you get home, you'll finish the job. No, no, inochinami, I'm saying. But I don't get that from those lines. I get that from the word, from the Gemara now saying, Gumro, that mahapich means, no, you're missing out on the significance of this. Mahapich means that they have to be gomer. That they have to be gomer, meaning that what if you had a case, according to this Gemara, just pashut reading the Gemara, a guy starts the cooking, a Jew comes, flips it, plays with it, does whatever, is memar the bishul. The guy then finishes up the cooking.
What does that mean, finishes up the cooking? Finish it's already up to the last stage. It's flipped over.
Yeah.
If I'm cooking a steak.
He flips it again. He raises the flames again. He does whatever Mahabik accomplishes, he does again. If Mahabik accomplishes pushing down the burger and getting the flame to come up again, so the guy does it again.
That won't mean
and the flame comes up again.
Anyways.
What?
That won't mean anything because it's going to be cooked anyways.
Well, what do you mean? When it's going to get cooked anyway, had the Jew put it there and it would have gotten cooked. But the Jew didn't put it on the fire. We said before it's going to be mutter if the Jew puts it on the fire and it would have gotten cooked. Right. Over here, the guy puts it on the fire. The guy finishes it. The Jew in the middle was playing with it.
No, but the guy finishing it here isn't something that's important. Because the guy,
it's not something that's important. It seems to be the whole focus of the Gemara. That Gomro Biyad Ovikuchavim is even mutter Gomro Biyad Yisrael Ukol.
They were understanding that there are just two process. There's just two actions. There's you put it on and then you flip it. We're now adding a third process or something. Either
I'm suggesting that there is a metzius, which
cases,
happens all the time, where someone gets involved in the middle and someone says, oh, I'll watch it for you while you go inside. You're cooking a big London broil. Takes, whatever, a half hour to cook. So the first 10 minutes you're there. The next 10 minutes you go away and someone is watching over it and making sure nothing's burning or whatever and flipping it if it needs to be flipped. And then the last 10 minutes you come and you cut into it and see if it's red or whatever and you continue to finish up the cooking.
So we have two options of what it could be, right? Either the third option would be that the Jew comes now, either the guy now comes and flips it again, or he somehow makes the fire grow greater.
Yeah.
So I don't think we can say the first option because it's just not needed. Meaning you put it on and then you do the other side.
What do you mean it's not needed? See, you never flip anything more than once on a barbecue? Sometimes you do. If
someone's cooking a steak, generally, if the guy knows what he's doing, it's one
okay,
and one.
Look, now everyone knows what they're doing. Sometimes it was flipped prematurely
the
first time.
If someone's mother is broiling a steak, usually he puts it on and 20 minutes in, mother, flips it. Think that someone knows what they're doing. Usually that's what happens. It's on one side for a certain amount of time, then on the other side, and that's it. You generally don't need to flip it back over. And if you want to say that the time is that he's making...
Can you imagine such a tsiur of someone who prematurely flipped it, and it does need to be flipped back over?
Yes, but I'm thinking about it. I think the Gemara is talking about a case when that wouldn't be needed. It would probably just as hava.
So that's my question. When the Gemara says Gumro, is Gumro the ikar over here? Is it dafka that he's finishing it? Or is it the act of hibuch that's the ikar? That's my question. Is hibuch enough? The fact that a Jew is mahapech, is that enough to make it mutter? Or is it, no, that the Jew has to be gomer, he has to finish off the bishul in order to make it mutter. Now, the way the Gemara expresses it is that if the guy was gomer, then it's going to be mutter. For sure, if the Jew is gomer, it's going to be mutter. Sounds like that there's something about the Gemara. To bring you a little bit of a raya, that it's something about the Gemara, take a look at the Rush. It's not in the Mar Makamos, but it's in the back of your Gemaras. So take a look at the Rush. The Rush explains this kal v'chomer. He quotes from the Rach, although I didn't see it in the Rach. Maybe I was just... I think he quotes it from the Rach. Maybe he doesn't. Where is it? Oh, he's from the Rush. Yeah, here it is. No, it's not. That's not the part that's from the Rach. Okay, fine. It's just the Rush himself. In Simon Lamed Beis, in Perek Sheni, if you have my edition of the Gemara, which is this, which I think still has the old Surah Sadaf of the Rush, just a nicer print, about 10, 12 lines before the end of the column, in the right-hand column, last one line is Ibaya. So it says the Rush, Ibaya lehu, hiniyach ovicham vavichisrol mahu, amram nachem bar yitzchak kal v'chomer, umma gamru biyad aku mutter afal pi. Now here's where he adds, afal pi shekarov hadavar lovel lidei chasnus, Kivan shegomar bishulo viruuya leachila nigmar biyad yisrael kol shkein. What's the emphasis on? Is it on hafach or is it on gomar? The whole kal v'chomer is, according to the Rush, that if the guy finished the job, he provided you with a product that was ready to be eaten. So if the guy is the one that provided you with a product that's ready to be eaten, that's still going to be mutter. For sure, when a Jew provides you with a product that's ready to be eaten, that's going to be mutter. Does that necessarily mean that if the Jew did not provide you with the product that's ready to be eaten, he was hopefully somewhere in the middle, but then he left and the flames were going down and the guy had to, whatever, you know, somehow make the flames higher again or alter it a little bit? Is that part of the Kal V'Chomer? I'm just suggesting, Pashut Pshat, the way the Rush reads the Gemara, is that that's not part of the Kal V'Chomer. That a Jew actually manipulating the food that's on the fire, if the Jew didn't put it on the fire, nor did he finish it, is not going to be mutter, according to this Gemara. Yeah?
It seems like, it seems from the Gemara that the hevuch is the Gemara, that's the whole point, that by him...
Can you envision a case where it's not, is what I'm asking. You're right. The Gemara, when it talks about hafach bo, means the Gemara. So I'm asking you, what if it's not?
No, because either way, okay, so now it's going to be cooked in 2 hours, but by you flipping it, so now it's going to be that less 1 hour. So yeah, if you flip it again, so maybe it's going to be a half hour, because it's really a Gemara by that 1 hour.
No, is that how you read that Rush? The Rush says that why is it a Gemara? Because he's providing you with a ready product, with a finished product.
Yeah,
it's done already. Not that it's going to be done already. The Gemara is it is done already.
No, maybe if you want to flip, but they want to finish at all. Maybe it's a big piece of meat that you have to flip.
No, the Gemara said Hafachba was that it would have gotten finished, even in the case where the guy is Hafachba.
No,
the Jew put it in a place that would have gotten finished in 2 hours. Okay. Now the guy participates, it's going to be finished in 1 hour. You can say that's also called the Jew was Gamar. No, he obviously wasn't. It was the guy who was Gamar. Yeah, I'm saying in the original case of the Gemara, Jew puts it on the fire, the guy is Hofech. So the guy is Gomer.
Yeah.
So if the guy puts it on the fire, the Jew is Hofech, and then the guy comes back and is Hofech again, or whatever, finishes it up, who's Gomer?
The Jew is still going to be Gomer, because by that...
No,
why? That first action that's been taken is the Gemira.
Why is that the Gemira?
Because whenever he does that, it's the same thing that we were saying with the Macha Ben Yitzchak. Once it hits Macha Ben Yitzchak, it's ready to be very close. So once you have that Gemira, that Hefech, that is the Gemira.
The guy puts it on fire, it gets cooked 2%. The Jew comes in his hofech, and it gets cooked to 10%. Then the guy finishes the rest off. And he does the other 90%. He never got to Machal Ben Yisrael under the Jew's watch. Mutar or Aser? So all I'm suggesting is that's not called Gemara Al Yidei Yisrael. And it would seem from this Gemara Pasha Pshat that it would still be Aser.
Do you need that rush if the next words of the Gemara, the Imar Nami, is basically that idea that if it started and ended with the Goy,
Let's read the Itmar Nami. I think you do need the Rush. I think you do need the Rush. Let's read the Gemara. Itmar Nami. Amar Rav Bar Chanan Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Va'amri la Amar Rav Acha Bar Bar Chanan Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Bein Sheiniach Ovid Chavim V'Hafach Yisrael. Bein Sheiniach Yisrael V'Hafach Ovid Chavim Mutter. Meaning, what's the Itmar Nami? All it's telling you is the Shiloh that we asked, if the Jew is the one that's Hofech, is it Mutter? The answer is yes. Right? That the answer we gave is correct. That the Kal V'Chomer we gave is correct. That if the guy is Hofech, it's going to be Mutter. Then for sure, if the Jew is Hofech, it's going to be Mutter, because Hofech is the most significant act. But how are we defining Hofech? By being Gomer. That's how we're defining it, as the most significant act in the world of Chasnus. In the world of Chasnus. Is it the most significant act in Hilchos Bishul B'Shabbos? Probably not. Whoever got it to Machal Ben Yisrael, that's the most significant act, right? But being Gomer is the most significant act in the world of Chasnos, because he provided you with a product that's ready to eat. And that's what you're most enthralled with. Ve'eno Aser, now here's the line, Ad she'tehei t'chilaso v'gomro b'yad ovid kochavim. Now what's he saying with that? What's the Gemara saying over there? It's only Aser if you have the Tchila and the Gemar by the Ovid Kochavim. What about the middle? Now again, the Gemar doesn't address that there is a middle, that there's a possibility of middle. But I'm saying that in any normal realistic situation, you can imagine such a case. So he says it's only going to be Aser when it's the Tchila and the Gemar by the Ovid Kochavim. Something to think about. Is it also going to be Aser if the Tchila and the Gemar was by the Ovid Kochavim, but in the middle it was dealt with by a Jew? So again, Pashut reading of the Gemara, yes, that's going to be Aser. That's not good. A Jewish involvement at any point besides for the Gemara, we don't have any right that it works. Amar Ravina, Hilchasa, so then all of a sudden, the Gemara starts talking about baking bread. Hilchasa, Harifta, Deshagar, Ovid Chavim, Va'afa Yisrael, where the guy lights the oven and the Jew bakes the bread. Inami shagri shol v'avichav, where the Jew lights the oven and the guy bakes the bread. Inami shagri avichav v'af avichav v'asi shol v'chata b'chituyei. Or there's a third step in baking bread. There's lighting the oven, there's putting the bread in, and there's chata chituyei. There's stoking the coals. So shaper dami, as long as the Jew does any of the three steps, step one, step three, or even step two, even the middle job, if the Jew does that, that's also okay by bread. What's the Gemara saying? Is the Gemara associating Bishalakum with Pasakum, or is the Gemara disassociating Bishalakum with Pasakum? Meaning the Gemara says there are three steps by bread. There's only two steps by Bishal, and whatever middle step you might take is by definition insignificant because there are only two steps by Bishal, and those are the only two things we look at. But bread breaks up nicely into three steps, and therefore anything a Jew does, any one of those steps is going to be okay. Or do you want to say, no, the Gemara is showing how by Pasakum, it sets a good example for what Bishalakum really is. That by Pasakum there are three steps, and a Jewish involvement at any point in the process is good enough. And who did my Bishalakum, Jewish involvement at any point in the process is good enough. Basically, we have more questions when we finish this Gemara than we have answers. Yeah.
2 to 3 points. Number one, by the Pas, it's completely different process.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning by the...
So you say like side number one that I just said.
Right.
But you were very adamant against it. Okay, yeah.
Right. Meaning by the... In the previous case, we don't know how the fire got there. The fire's there. Then we're talking about two steps. Someone put it on. Someone turned it over.
We don't know how the fire got there. The Jew is... Shofesas
it just says... We don't know who lit the gachalim. There's a lit fire.
Okay.
We only have... Step one and step two.
I know who lit the chalom. Come on. Because the Jew's the one that's starting the cooking. The
but
Jew's
that's what I'm saying. It seems to be...
The guy didn't come into the picture yet.
It seems like it wouldn't matter if the guy lit it or not.
Okay.
Take that.
Okay. The Jew put the food on the flame.
Right. Meaning over there, whatever, the shlokos is something that requires a putting it on and the flipping.
Right.
By bread, it's not like that. And the Gemara says that.
Okay, good.
You're just putting it in. And then
and
you're stoking, the chitui, you're right. Stoking whatever, right. Stoking is right, stoking.
Yeah,
right. So I'm saying immediately, just the very, very different. So it's hard.
Good. So you want to say that by Bishalakum there are two significant acts. If
right.
The Jew does neither of those significant acts,
then it's
no
then
good.
Right. But by bread, and also what I'm saying, and bread also would make more sense because I'm saying the way we describe the bread is something that everyone needs and all these things. We want it to be more mutter. Maybe we'd even look for reasons for it.
We'll look for more kulas by bread.
Right.
True. That could all be true. I have no problem with any of that.
Also,
yeah.
When I got back, the previous point, right? The Gemara is talking about a two-step process, right? Mm-hmm. That's just the way. There was a two-step process. You took it and you flipped it.
That's
over.
Exactly my point.
Right. For us to now take from that, right? In regards to talking about the same thing. Two-step process by a piece of steak. And now we want to say, let's say there's a third step, so it's very hard to be able to...
What I'm saying is there could
Gemara.
Be 1,000 steps.
Right.
The Gemara is saying there are two that are important.
Right.
There's the Tchila and the Gemara. If the Jew does neither of the two important ones, you have a problem.
The Gemara only learns that that's the Tchila and that's the Gemara because it was a two-step process. So whatever step one is, that's going to be the Tchila, and whatever step two is going to be the Gemara.
And that's why
that
I showed you the Rush, who clearly says not that way.
That's why?
Because the Rush says the Gemara is defined as providing you with a finished product. That's how we define
again,
the Gemara.
Why can't that
so
just
anything
be going
that
the
doesn't
case of the
provide
Gemara,
you with a finished product is not the Gemara.
Why can't it just be within this case of the Gemara, where that happens to be the second step is the Gemara? Meaning if it's a third, meaning perhaps the Rush wouldn't say the same thing if there were three steps.
Because again, it ruins the whole Kal V'chomer. The whole idea of the Kal V'chomer is that because he's being Gomer, he's doing something so significant. But if you're going to say, oh, but what if he does anything else, that's also good enough. Well, that's not so significant. There's no Kal V'chomer for that.
But again, the Kal V'chomer is only within this two-step process.
I don't think so, because the whole lumdus of the Kal V'chomer is that he's providing you such a significant...
And we just said that Gomer means Hafach. How can we say that Gomer means any... How can we say that Hafach would mean anything else? Hafach has to mean Gomer. Right, in this case, Gamru means Hafach, because there's two steps. But now we want to say, let's say Hafach doesn't mean Gamru. No, it has to be both. Gamru means Hafach, and Hafach means
I think
means
we're
going
to have to agree to disagree about this, otherwise we're going to... Yeah.
I have a question, and based on that answer, I might have another question or not. So,
okay.
Is there such a din of Machal ben Jusai in terms of...
I won't hang up after the first one.
Is there such a din of Machal ben Jusai in Pas?
Is there such a thing as Machal ben Jusai in Pas?
That's only by... like cooking food.
Yeah. I have no idea. I don't know. Do we say something is nefes tamachal ben shusai?
Right.
David, any idea? I don't know.
What would it be? Only that the Gemara speaks terribly about undercooked bread as being.
Right. So is that is
right?
But do we have the same hadara of a third, a half? I don't know.
So I'm saying, so based on that, before we were, the Gemara seems to be defining the two steps as being pre-machal ben shusai and post-machal ben shusai. So
okay, let me just say that's not pashut either. So let's. The other question we need to think about, let me just pose this now. The other question you need to think about is when the Gemara says Gemar of what? The way the Rush read it is clearly the Gemar of the entire Bishul where it's totally ready. Is it possible that Gemar means finishing up to the point of Machal Ben Drusai? Right? Gemar might mean just finishing up to Machal Ben Drusai, getting it to Machal Ben Drusai.
As the key points, you know, as the Machal Ben Drusai, as the cutoff point between.
In which case, if Gemar means only getting it to Machal Ben Drusai, what if the juice first gets involved after that? It gets 33% cooked by the guy, and then the Jew does the rest. Is that mutter? L'chor, that's going to be us according to the Gemara then. Right?
Well, you're saying that, according to the Gemara, that he has to start the Gemara.
No, the Gemara is defined as getting it to Machal Ben Drusai, getting it to 33%. Then it's finished. It's Mashal Ma'ad Avadomer, you cook something entirely, and then the Jew puts ketchup on it. That doesn't help. Right?
Okay.
So if Machal Ben Drusai is the end of the Bishul, and then the Jew does the rest, that's irrelevant. Doesn't do anything. So we're going to have to see what does. Pashup Shad in the Gemara, I think Gemara means not to Machal Ben Drusai, I think it means Gemar. When you actually finish it, like the Rush says, that you have a finished product to deal with. Yeah, Zach.
I think the first case is the Gemara. Right? It's saying that when the guy finishes it, that the reason why it's still mutter is because it's not as important as the beginning. Meaning, based on the first case, it's Pashup that the first part is important and the second part isn't important. So the Kamaforma doesn't make much sense because. The reason why it's still mutter is because the Jew started and the guy finished it. So I'm going to have to call a homer to a Jew finishing only the Iker is the starting.
So what, that in the first part of the Gemara, it's mashma that what?
That the Iker is the putting it on.
Why? Why do you say that?
Because when the guy takes it up, when the guy finishes it, it's still okay. It's no hashash. It's still mutter. When the guy finishes it, it's still mutter. Therefore, the end must not be real cooking. Really, the beginning is what's considered cooking. And therefore, it's mutter. So the call of homer is beginning to set the backwards call of homer.
Maybe it's not when the guy finishes it's still mutter, it's even when the guy finishes it, it's mutter. Meaning the point is, even though the guy
did... Why is that mutter?
Why is it mutter? Because because there are two major components. The Gemara is the major one when it comes to chasnus, but the two major components are putting it on the fire and finishing the job. So Jew putting it on the fire is good enough. It's enough Jewish involvement.
Why is case here? If the point of this case.
No, it's enough Jewish involvement to make it mutter.
This is implying that the putting it on...
That's a chiddush too, that it's enough... Because any issue of how much involvement can be viewed as if the Jew does it, is it enough to make a mutter? And if the guy does it, is enough to make it aser? You're always going to have a chiddush, no matter how you phrase it, right? So Jewish involvement at the beginning is enough to make a mutter.
Also, then I got to find the end of the Gemara now with the baking. I only see how baking is different than cooking. You're saying putting the coals on. We have coals by cooking. Stoving the coal, same thing, but cooking also, so why is there...
Good. Reasonable minds can disagree about this. We've just proven that, and we'll see.
When does
Gemar
kick in?
When does Gemar? As soon as it starts getting its stomach varalo, then it's you're at your Gemar point.
Yeah, but I think for someone to do Gemar, at what point of the cooking is he doing the Gemar?
As soon as the meat is now at a point where the longer you leave it on the fire, the worse it gets. As opposed to getting better. That's the point of Gemar, right? It's either Machal Ben Drusai, it's either Machal Ben Drusai or Mitztamek V'Ralo. Those are the two possibilities, as far as I know, unless someone has another possibility. I don't want to hear it now, because I want to get moving here a little bit. Okay, so let's get moving. So in terms of Hipuch, so we have to define what Hipuch means. The Gemara gave us a tremendous kula, that if a Jew does the Hipuch, it's mutter, and even if a guy does the Hipuch, that's also mutter, even though the Hipuch is so critical, so important. So what does Hipuch mean exactly? So the Beis Yosef writes a little less clearly than he writes it in Kesef Mishnah. So let's take a look at Kesef Mishnah first. Says Kesef Mishnah, source number 4, the nearly the high hipuk b'basar lola havchol mitzad shu munachal gabi chalim ulanichol mitzad acher, not to flip it from the side that it's placed on the coals to the other side, which I'm understanding means flipping like a pancake, right? Does not mean that. Kamar dahinu misalko mamish, because if you do that, you have to lift it off the grill, and if you lift it off the grill, then the same thing as putting it in a basket. It might not mean whether you put it in a basket or you picked it up an inch off the grill. Either way, it's off the flame. Good. The kol shesilko akum kodem sheyisbashel kamachu ben shosay v'chzir lar aser. If the non-Jew took it off before it got to Machal Ben Jusayin, and he flips it, so he took it off the grill, same thing as putting it down in the basket, so it's going to be Aser. So what does it mean? Ela kishemina'ano v'humunach ala eish. You shake it while it's still on the fire. You don't flip it, you don't pick it up. You shake it while it's on the fire, Mayri. That's what we're talking about. Val yudei kein, huvaru alapidim, what does shaking help? How does that help the cooking? So if you've ever barbecued a hamburger and just push down on the hamburger and a little bit of grease goes into the fire and boom, the fire comes up, right? So that's exactly what's happening. You shake it, a little grease goes down, fire comes up, that speeds up the bishul process. That's the contribution of hipuch. So if that level of hipuch was done by a Jew, that's enough to make it mutter. And if it was done by a guy, it's not going to ruin your bishul if the Jew is the one that put it on the flame in the first place. But anything less than that, that's done by a Jew, is not going to be enough for Bishul Akum purposes. If all the Jew did is he stoked the coals, he moved the coals around a little bit, it's not going to be enough for Bishul Akum. It's not going to save it from Bishul Akum. It's not going to be enough to call it Bishul Yisrael. Why does he have to tell us that? Reading our Gemara, at any point in our Gemara, did you think that if the Jew never touches the food, that it's going to be okay? What's the chiddush? That if the Jew touches the coals, that's not going to be okay if you touch the coals. Of course it's not going to be okay if you touch the coals. You didn't even touch the food. Why would it be okay? Again, we have to get out of the mindset of what we actually do and into just the mindset of what we saw in the Gemara. The Gemara never mentioned anything about any involvement that doesn't actually touch food. So obviously what he's addressing is the tour. That if you look at the tour in source number 2 and some Kuf Yud Gimel, the Torah writes, "Lo Asrael k'shekol abish al yedei of the gulilum, aval hayat chilaso sof al yedei Yisrael mutter." If the beginning or end of the bishul was done by a Jew, it's mutter. Keitzad yiniach of the gulilum atavshil al hagchalim uba Yisrael v'chata bigchalim mutter. Torah holds all the Jew needs to do is stoke the coals, and then it's going to be mutter. Stoking the coals is decidedly less than actually manipulating the food itself. And nevertheless, that's going to be mutter. Where does the Torah get that from? So he obviously understood hafach bo in our Gemara to be hafach bo on the coals. How did he get that from the Gemara? Very hard to understand. What?
From the past.
From the past? What do you mean?
Comparing the case of the past. Since it's a stage of his hebrew by the past.
Very good. Okay, so it could be that the problem is when the Gemara kept on using the word hafachbo, let's point out the Beis Yosef's problem with it first, then we'll get to your answer. When the Gemara used the word hafachbo, it used it in the context of comparing it to a case of a woman leaving a pot and the non-Jew stirring the pot, which was obviously about the food. It was obviously the non-Jew handling the food. So Beis Yosef says, come on, that's obviously dealing with the food. Hafachbo must be also dealing with the food. The Avodah Brura points out the other diuk that I mentioned, that hafach bo is supposed to hafach bam. If it was on the coals, it should have said hafach bam. So the only teretz you can say, probably, in terms of being miyashiv the tour, Elliot wants to say, very pashut. Yeah, the tour's not getting his heter from the beginning of the Gemara. He's getting it from those last few lines of the Gemara. And he's understanding the whole discussion of past to be a reflection on the earlier discussion about the bishul. And if by the pas chita b'kachalim is enough, like Zach was saying before, it's the same basic process, by bishul chita b'kachalim should be enough also. Should have the same halachos. That's perhaps what the Torah is saying. Now let me ask you just one thing. What would the Torah say in my imaginary case, where a Jew was involved in the middle, not at the beginning and not at the end? The case that half you don't like, don't want to acknowledge it exists. But let's say the Jew is involved in the middle, not at the beginning, not at the end. What would the Torah say in that case? Any diuk from the Torah? What did you say?
His mother.
Why would he see that?
Because he's saying, at least from so far, he's saying that as long as he stokes the coals, I mean, that he does so little bit, doesn't even touch the food at all, and just makes the grill
good.
A
that's
bit
the
hotter.
Svara argument, and the words argument is even stronger. Look at the first few words of the Torah. Velo asru ella kishekol habishol al yedei of the gelulim. It's only asr when the non-Jew did everything. Then he gives examples. If the Jew did the beginning, the Jew did the end, but mistama, the Jew did the middle is also good enough. The Jew is mechata b'kholim, it's good enough. When? He has to be mechata b'kholim at the beginning? At the end? He can be mechata b'kholim in the middle too. Right? Obviously, the pasha case of mechata b'kholim is in the middle. He's mechata b'kholim at any point during the cooking process. That's good enough. That's how the Torah wants to understand. That's l'chora how the Torah understands it. So now, the Beis Yosef clearly understands that mechata b'kholim is much less of a chashava act than anything you do on the food itself.
No, yeah, it's understandable, but by you stoking the coals, the flame is going to increase. And then
yeah, but what I'm saying is, the Torah, why would the Torah, where would the Torah get the idea that he can say a bigger chiddush than it says anywhere in the Gemara? If the Gemara was only going, only willing to go as far as to say, you manipulate the food, that's good enough, for the Torah to then take the next step and say, even if it's if you only manipulate
and
the coals, that's good enough.
But even in the case when you're manipulating the food, in the case when she's turning around in the stew, when she's using food, so when you say, oh, that's carbo-bishal, that's like she's making whatever's on top.
And Achinami, I understand that, but I still think.
So to it, just carbo-bishal. So whichever way.
Right. The only problem is the Gemara didn't say the biggest Kiddush then. The Gemara said the second biggest Kiddush. Right? And the Gemara should have said a bigger Kiddush.
If we're going to make a diak on Kishikol, then why is it less than the Machal Ben Jusai is Aser? Because he did 10%, Jew did 10%, so that should be enough. It's not
yeah, it would be enough. And the Gemara says that is enough as long as it stayed on the fire the entire time. Right, if it was taken, the Machal Ben Jusai is only required if it was taken off the fire and the guy is the one to put it back on.
So then why is it that when the guy takes it off and puts it, or you take it off and the guy puts it back on, that it's all of a sudden us, or you cook it a little bit, there's a little bit that's cooked because of you. So if we're making a deal.
Yeah, so probably because the way you would look at it is any food that's not Machal Ben Jusai is like taking a raw food because it's still considered raw, and this is a new Maisa Bishul on it. That when a Jew is involved in the same Maisa Bishul, he participated in this Maisa Bishul, that's going to be good enough. But if this Maisa Bishul had no Jewish involvement, that wouldn't be good enough. Okay. let's move on. So Beis Yosef, Kesef Mishnah, seems to say being Mechad B'Chalm is not going to be good enough. Mahapich doesn't involve actually turning it around. The Jew doesn't even need to actually flip it. All the Jew needs to do is manipulate the food a little bit, and that's going to be a good enough heter. Now, how many times would the Jew have to flip it? Would the Jew have to flip it multiple times? One time? Is a single flip enough? So according to everything we've learned, according to the Beis Yosef, as quoted as the Kesef Mishnah, as Beis Yosef expresses himself in Kesef Mishnah, L'chora, that should work. Problem is, that's not really a problem, but just the ha'ara is, we know there's going to be a major machlokas mechaber amah about hashlachas kisim, about taking a splinter and throwing it into the fire to make the fire bigger. Where the mechaber says that's no good, that's not enough for a Jew to do that. And the Ramah says that's fine. So what's going to turn out is that the mechaber is going to hold that no matter what you do to the fire, not only chita b'chalim, Chita b'chalim is taking existing coals and just shoving them around a little bit. Even if you add to the fire, you give more fuel to the fire, doing anything to the fire is not going to help. You need to do something on the food. Whereas the Ramah is going to say, any little bit will help, whether it be a little bit you do on the fire, a little bit you do on the food, doesn't make a difference, any little bit will help. Yeah.
We can't say within the mechaber that, again, the food is just a means to get to the b'chalim. Because again, he says at the end of the day, what's going on.
But he says chita b'chalim won't help. Right? He says beferish that being mechata b'chalim is not going to help you.
It has to be by somehow tampering with the food.
Right. You have to be dealing with the food. Yeah.
If And we say, and so according to that, therefore the Mechaber holds that Havoch is not anything to do with me, and that's why you, that's why it would be a problem.
The Mechaber holds Havoch is on the meat.
So why would it be a problem?
But you're not flipping the meat, you're just...
No, I understand. So then why wouldn't that be enough, according to the Mechaber Havoch? Just one flip.
It would be. I'm saying it would be enough. One flip would be enough, according to the Mechaber. But adding to the fire, even if you add firewood to the fire, doesn't help. So, meaning it comes out, doing anything to the food is good enough. And no matter how much you do to the fire, it's still not good enough. That the emphasis is on the food. Right? Just to clarify the Shita of Mechaber, that's what it seems at least at this point.
Yeah, but by adding coals or whatever you're adding to the fire, does do something on the food.
Of course, it has a residual effect on the food, but it's for whatever reason, we don't view it as a Maisa Chashuv because you're not actually dealing with the Chefsa of the Bishalakim. That you're right, the Totsaos are going to be very... Without somebody putting a fire there, the food's not getting cooked. Right? So obviously it's very critical, but in terms of dealing with the Chefsa, so that's... Yeah.
Again, just to clarify, as far as it doesn't matter if you're affecting food or not, you have to, again, what we're saying that it's all telling what is a Maisa Chashuv. I mean, the guy has to do that.
I think so. Okay. I think so.
It could be anything, even just touching it's good.
The food.
Yeah.
The food.
Food, yeah.
But not the fire.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
Okay, we'll get to the Lundus later. What I want to point out also is take a look in Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Shabbos. If you look at Hilchos Shabbos, Simen Shin Yud Ches, in Or Chaim, source number 5, He ilfas fa'akadera sha'avir me'rotchen me'al gabe ar, im lo nesbashu kol tzarchem, ein motziin bekaf mehem, she'nimtza megis. If you have a pot of food that is not completely cooked and was taken off the fire, you're not allowed to remove food from that pot with a spoon, because removing food from that pot with a spoon will stir the pot, will cause the contents of the pot to be stirred around a little bit, and that will cause a redistribution of the heat, which in turn will cause the food to be more cooked. V'ika mishum evashel. But v'im nispashel kol tzarcho mutter. If it's already nispashel kol tzarcho, if it's already cooked to the point that it's totally cooked, and it's no longer on the fire, and it's mutter, it's going to be mutter. Mishum brua happens to point out over there, if it's nispashel kol tzarcho, it's even mutter on the fire. You don't even take it off the fire. Someone told me recently, I got a call, frantic call from a group of women who were coming back from Hilchos Shabbos here in one of the local shuls, that the rabbi in the shir said that if you when you're serving your chalent, even if it's fully cooked and it's off the fire, you still can't scoop it out. You got to just pick up the chalent pot and pour the whole thing over. I never heard something like that in my life. I said, that sounds ridiculous. Whatever. Big Talmud Chacham, we checked up with him and he said, yeah, I really hold that way. It's against Shulchan Aruch. I don't know where he says he has a Masara like that, whatever. But the point is that being Magus a pot, when it's not fully cooked, is enough to be called Bishul. Would you say the same thing by Bishul Akum? Meaning we say the non-Jewish woman being Magus is not going to ruin it. The Jewish woman, presumably, since we're comparing Hagasa to Hipuch, a Jewish woman being Magus the pot is going to be enough to make a Mutter. So is this enough to be making mutter? It would come out if you apply what you learn in Hilchos Shabbos, Hilchos Bishalakum, it would come out a tremendous kula. That it's the challah's not fully cooked, everything was done by the non-Jew. The woman comes home, quick stir, all good now. It's all mutter. Right? In terms of Bishalakum. If you're gonna apply the laws of Hilchos Shabbos over here. One second. There is a chumra of the kolbo. The chumra of the kolbo is that even a fully cooked pot shouldn't be stirred while it's still on the fire. Such a chumrah. Not to stir a fully cooked pot while it's still on the fire, even though it's fully cooked already, and therefore there's no further cooking, but still, you never know. So even if you're going to call that bishul, would you apply that kula to bishul akum? Woman comes home, turns out the housekeeper made the entire dinner. She wanted to do a favor, surprise, Mrs., I made you dinner, right? So all the woman has to do is take a spoon, mix, okay, let's enjoy dinner now. If you apply the halachs of, if you take magus in the Hilchos Shabbos sense of it, and you apply it over here, it would come out to some major, major kulas in terms of how little Jewish involvement is necessary. The inclination that I have, although I didn't see it really in the books anywhere, is that the gedarim of Magus are going to be different when you're going l'chumra in Hilchas Shabbos than when you're going l'kula in Hilchas Bishul Akum. So Magus doesn't always mean Magus, is basically all I'm trying to tell you. Gary? Yeah, so I mean, you could always go to the old Svara that Shabbos were concerned about what is objectively called Bishul, and by Bishul Akum we're interested in what's going to cause Chasmus. And therefore the Gedarim might be different. We're going to see, we're going to talk about another area where we're going to really have to talk about whether the Gedarim match is when we talk about Ishun and, you know, other forms of Bishul, you know, Kavush, things like that, you know, whether they line up. Microwave cooking. So in Rav Moshe has a tshuva where the microwave cooking is bishul b'Shabbos, presuming that there's some way to do it without all the buttons and electricity, right? Whether the actual idea of using microwaves to cook is considered bishul b'Shabbos, cooking without heat, right? So we'll get to that discussion. But yeah, but that would be the svara. The svara would be that bishul b'Shabbos is about objective bishul. This isn't about objective bishul. This is just about what could lead to nisuin. So my guess is the svara would be that what Machlo Ben Shlai isn't just a magic point. Machlo Ben Shlai is the point where it's edible, barely edible, but edible. Right. So if the guy got it to that point, right, or let's say if you got it to that point, and then the guy finished up, the guy hasn't done you any great favors, right? If you've already gotten it to be edible, and the guy just made it more delicious, so he hasn't done you enough of a favor to be a concern of chasms.
So what we're saying is that it's really more of just the point of where, you know, that's what we're cool, so the guy really hasn't done anything.
Right.
You won't have to worry about.
Right. If you're going to go with this svara that it's not totally an actual gedarim of bishul, that's what you'd have to say. Question? No?
Just the comparison between bishul b'Shabbos and bishul b'Shul Akum. The Gemara here says that in regards to bishul Akum, we say kruvi bishul lav milsi. Right, but by Shabbos we say it is
Milsehi,
right? We can't be
Ma'ar
Bishul on Shabbos.
The Gemara says, Krove Bishula Lav Milsehi. Where did the Gemara say that again? I just forgot.
Over here, right? Ma'adatim Krove Bishula Milsehi, Kamash Malan. So, I mean,
but that's in terms of the guy doing it. But in terms of the Jew doing it, right?
Right, if the guy does it, it's not considered Ma'ar Bishul.
If the guy does it, it's not considered
bishul akum.
It's considered bishul yisrael.
Right, but by Shabbos we consider it.
What if it were the reverse in that case?
It would be okay.
It would be okay,
yeah.
Because it is called bishul yisrael when
right.
All
it's
the Jew
exactly.
That is
it's
being mimicked
by
bishul
akum. Right, that's
right.
What everyone seems to be saying.
Right,
I just wanted to add that there are differences.
Right, exactly.
And
okay.
Also,
yeah.
Sorry. Also, would there be like, over here when the Shulchan Aruch says that if you take out food, it would be mimar bishul? Would there be enough amina if you have kavanah to be mevashel, or you just have kavanah to take out food and then memeder you're being mevashel?
It sounds like he's assuming that it's going to be yasser either way. That even if
no, I'm saying regards to bishul akum.
On regards
meaning
to bishul akum.
Meaning if I want to make it bishul yisrael, wouldn't there be enough amina if I'm just taking
I definitely
take
hear
out?
Such a svara.
Okay.
I definitely hear such a svara.
He was saying before that if we apply that, all you do is like stir the food, like the only couple on stir the food, that helps you make over here, he's saying like that our mother, all you do is still like stir the coals.
Stir the coals, I don't know. Well, according to the Ramah. According to the Ramah.
I'm saying you can't apply the word Ramah because by that case, the woman comes home, she's having contact with the food, so it wouldn't help us make her here because they still have the Chumrah like the Machaber that you have to have contact with the food.
Yeah, so I'm just saying that even with that contact with the food, that's enough, and then any sort of, even such late contact with the food would in fact be Mutter. Okay. Is it al-Kharkhila to even allow this? To allow the hipuch by the guy? Meaning the fact that the guy is mahapich, it's still mutter. Does that mean al-Kharkhila you can let the guy be mahapich? So the truth is, Lashon the Gemara, Lashon, if you just look at the way the Shulchan Aruch says it, how does the Shulchan Aruch say it? Shulchan Aruch says, the way he says it is more of a lashon b'di'evid, but that's the way he's just describing the case. I don't know of any poskim that say that it's actually b'diavad. There must be some out there, but I don't know that any poskim actually say it's b'diavad. All poskim, as far as I know, are even making l'chadchila. Sometimes the Shulchan Aruch says, if this happens, it's mutter, doesn't mean you're not to let it happen. If this happens, it's mutter, sometimes means, and therefore it can happen because it's totally mutter. It's not even something you need to think about. Okay. There seems to be a little bit of a steer in the Shulchan Aruch, and I wanted to discuss this tonight. We'll just point it out tonight. We'll discuss it tomorrow night. Look in Kuf Yud Gimel Siv Vav, source number 6. Kol shebishlu Yisrael ma'at bishulo bein b'tchila bein b'sof mutter. A Jew helps out a little bit, whether at the beginning or at the end. Either way, it's going to be mutter. Lefichach im hiniach v'kav m'basar k'deira al gabi ha'esh v'hafach Yisrael b'basar v'higis b'k'deira. If a Jew does hipuch or megis, Oshihigis Yisrael v'gamar ovid k'chavim. Whoa. Oshihigis Yisrael v'gamar ovid k'chavim. Hareza mutter. What does that mean? Shihigis Yisrael v'gamar ovid k'chavim. Just by the way, what's he describing in case of? The guy did the beginning, the guy did the end, the Jew does the middle, right? No, you don't think so? I think it means Higgis Yisrael means...
That's the point of cooking. I don't know if I define that as the point of cooking. Oh, whatever.
Okay. Okay, maybe not. V'afilu lohay mispashu b'lo siyo avid chavim. Even though it could not have gotten cooked without the help of the guy. Good, so the Shulchan Aruch says that a Jew helping at the end is good enough, even though the guy, without the guy, it never would have gotten cooked. Take a look at the Shulchan Aruch, just 3 se'ifim later. In Bishlu of the Chavim Kemachal Ben Jusai, V'gamro Yisrael, if the guy cooks it most of the way, or even less than most of the way, even just Machal Ben Jusai, and the Jew finishes it, Yesh Lasar! We should answer it. Elam Ken Hu Erev Shabbos Erev Yom Tov, O'Sheyesh Hefzim Ruba B'davar. Unless it's Erev Shabbos or Erev Yom Tov, or it's going to be a major financial loss, then we can be Mekel. But otherwise, we should really make it Aser. If we're going to lose money, okay, fine. But otherwise, it should really be Aser. So, what's the stira? The Shulchan Aruch says in Siv Vav that if a Jew does the end, basof, that's totally mutter, even though it never would have gotten cooked without the guy. Makes it sound like the guy does pretty much everything, the Jew just finishes it up. At any point, it's going to be mutter. And even the Jew is just magus, it's going to be mutter. But in Se'if Tes, Shulchan Aruch says, no, if the guy got it to the point of Machal Ben Jusai, and notice what's missing from the formulation of the Shulchan Aruch, what does he not say about the Machal Ben Jusai case? He does not say it was removed from the fire or anything like that. Just the guy got it to the point of Machal Ben Jusai, it is now usher forever, no matter what the Jew does to it. That's the stira. We'll break for Maariv. There will be a 10-minute halacha shiur tonight, Bez Hashem, right after Maariv. And tomorrow we will continue.
It's different because I turned this off. No idea. Talk one?
No, I'm here.
You do it, you got it.
I'm sorry. Oh, so